Morning. I'd like to welcome everyone out to the Heather Ridge 6th Ward Sacrament Meeting. I'm Bishop Roberts. I will be conducting as well as presiding. We have Brother Flickinger from the High Council sitting on the stand today. A few announcements. One, if you see me run out, I'm not feeling really well, so if you see me leave, don't worry about me. I'm trying to get through this sacrament. Couple things. I have one thing to read from the First Presidency. Dear brothers and sisters, for many years, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has been working on a home-centered, church-supported plan for members to learn doctrine, fortify faith, and foster heartfelt worship. Today, we announced, and this came in General Conference, a significant step in achieving a new balance between gospel instruction in the home and in the church. Beginning in January 2019, the Sunday schedule followed throughout the church will include a 60-minute sacrament meeting each Sunday, after a 10-minute transition, a 50-minute class period. Sunday school classes will be held in this class period on the first and third Sundays, and priesthood quorums, Relief Society, young women will be held on the second and fourth Sunday. Primary will be held weekly and will last for 50 minutes. In addition, we encourage individuals, families to hold home evening and to study the gospel at home on Sunday or at other times as individuals and families choose. A new resource, Come Follow Me, for individuals and families, provides ideas for personal scripture study, family scripture study, and home evening. This adjustment will be implemented in January 2019. Additional information is enclosed and is also available on sabbath.lds.org. A lot of the curriculum is already available on the scripture tool. I just received multiple cases of the handbooks that we'll be distributing. We will be working as a bishopric and ward council on the whole process of transitioning by January. So we will be having some meetings where we go through the logistics and what will be involved in this transition. A couple other things. Sarah Thomas just went into the MTC this week, so she's on her way, so great. And then a state conference, which is going to be held on October 28th. We've now heard, not probably officially, but it looks like we'll be at the Tabernacle at 2 p.m. We don't have information yet on the adult session yet, so we're looking to get that information out to you as soon as possible. Today, we are also going to be kicking off a second Sunday school class. So over the last probably 6 months or so, it's been really difficult to get everybody in there. A lot of times people are in the back, they can't really see. So we're going to take some of those seats out, and the second Sunday school class will be held over here in the north in where the high priest used to meet. In the third hour. So that for the second hour, there's a second one there. So feel free to, there's soft chairs there also. So feel free to go over there. This will allow us to kind of actually break it down and make sure everybody has good seats, because we had a lot of people not able to get seats for a long time. I think that's all I have here. The opening hymn will be hymn 21, Come Listen to a Prophet Voice, and the invocation will be offered by Sister Heidi Beckstead.
Our dear kind Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be here in this sacrament meeting today. We're grateful for the opportunity we have to partake of the sacrament and renew our covenants with Thee. Help it to remind us of Thy Son's atonement, and help us to become clean and renew our covenants and remember the significance of this ordinance. We're grateful for the opportunity we also have to share testimonies with each other, to strengthen each other, and we are grateful for the freedom that we have to share those spiritual thoughts with each other. We're grateful for a living prophet. We're grateful for the opportunity that we had to listen to General Conference and receive revelation and inspiration, and help us to continue to ponder on those things and learn from them. And we ask a blessing upon those in our ward who are sick and in need. Bless our bishop and Brother Hall and all those who are recovering, and also those who have less visible needs, and help us to be able to be shepherds to each other and strengthen each other. And we ask a blessing upon the missionaries in this area. Help us to join with them to spread the gospel to all thy children, and bless especially the missionaries serving from our ward. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I missed one announcement. Please make sure you get on your calendar. Our Stake Youth Conference will be held November 2nd and 3rd, and it will be held at Aspen Grove. So I always look forward to our fast and testimony meetings. I love hearing the testimonies of our ward members. They inspire me and cause me to really reflect on my own testimony. It was a great privilege to hear from our prophet last week. I have such a strong testimony that Jesus Christ is the head of this church, and that he came to earth to show us an example, that he died for us and provided a means through the atonement for us to be, to progress and return to our Heavenly Father. I'm so thankful to have the gospel in my life. I'm thankful to be able to have and a prophet of God who holds the keys, the priesthood keys. I was thinking a lot about President Nelson this past week. And as you read the scriptures, how often you hear of the prophets giving direction to their people, and how often people don't follow that. And I feel like some of the changes and direction that we're hearing from our prophet are just not, you know, something that's nice to do. I do believe they're critical. The whole focus about the gospel within the home. I feel like our prophet is seeing the future and understands the things that we're going to be facing as we go forward, and that we need to have a firm foundation within our families, but also as individuals, which is based on a knowledge of Jesus Christ and the gospel, and be able to be fully converted. There's so many things going on around us that take us away from that, and we see many people drifting. So it's critical that we hold on to that iron rod and do whatever we can to move forward and progress. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to serve, to be able to help and grow by working with others. As I was looking over the congregation, it's interesting sitting on the stand and now as a bishop, you look at individuals in a totally different light. You spend a lot of time praying for each of you and wanting to be able to provide whatever support and help that you need. It's been a great blessing. I'm thankful for families, and I'm thankful for my wife and what she does and my children. And it's a little refreshing. Sometimes we just got a note from our older daughter thanking us for something. And she said, oh, thank you for being good parents. And we always wonder about that. If you were a good parent, did the right things. And it's always refreshing when they actually acknowledge that. Things kind of come full circle. But again, I have a testimony that the priesthood is established here. And I have a firm testimony of Joseph Smith. I'm moving my way through the Saints book, and it's helping kind of build my understanding of Joseph Smith and all the things he had to go through. It's really quite interesting, and it's like all of us, we have to do it a little bit at a time. the Lord didn't come and reveal everything to Joseph Smith. He had to work, ask questions, and answers were given, and which would add another dimension to his knowledge of the gospel, but also of what was needed to restore the Church of Jesus Christ. I admire him so much for what he was willing to do. And he always seemed to have this positive attitude as he dealt with all the trials and challenges that he faced and so much tragedy in his life as he was restoring the church. But what, you know, great blessings he also received in being guided by the Savior himself. And I have such a strong testimony that he did restore the church and that it is, again, the Church of Jesus Christ. I humbly do this and close this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it's time for yours to bear your testimony. We would like to end by 5 after the hour. Thanks.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Bill Colorado. I just want to stand here today and bear my testimony and just express how grateful I am for the church. And the conference was inspiring, very uplifting, and listening to all those talks was just amazing. I'm just grateful for our prophet and the inspiring things that he said. I'm grateful for him encouraging us to go away from the Mormon thing and really emphasize that this is the Church of Jesus Christ. It's his church and it's his gospel. It's always been mind-boggling to me why it is that people think that we're not Christians. That's what it's all about. I have a testimony of the church. I'm grateful to have the gospel in my life. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name's Tammy Hill. My heart is pounding. I know that this gospel is true. The prophet challenged the sisters last week if they would read the Book of Mormon between conference and the end of the year and to highlight references to Jesus Christ. And so Maddie and I decided that we could do this together, and it's been a really sweet experience. As I look for the Savior's name, or all of the names that he's known by, as we're reading, and we're only on 1 Nephi chapter 17, I'm amazed how filled the pages are with reference to Jesus Christ. It truly is another testament of him. I know that he lives, and I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for each of you. I'm thankful to live now and pray for strength that I might stand as a woman of faith and prepare for the Savior to come again. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good morning. I just wanted to bear my testimony. Adam and I will be moving again at the end of the month, and so this is my last chance. And as I've been thinking about, you know, what I want to say for, you know, my last, if I'm leaving, I wanted somebody to know the last thing. I would want them to know that God lives, and that I know that he hears and answers prayers. And I know that Jesus Christ is the head of this church, and that he directs, personally directs the prophet, and that when we follow the prophet, we are following Jesus Christ, and that we will never be led astray by doing this. I also know that he, Heavenly Father, knows me personally. He answers prayers that I didn't even utter out loud. They just weigh in the back of my mind, and, you know, a talk at church or a song or a person comes and says something to me, and I realize that it's an answer from Heavenly Father to something that I never even had brought to Him yet, but that He knows me so well, and He loves me so deeply that He wants to give me everything that He can and lead me in every way that He can to help me come back to Him. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Though I never really seek after this opportunity, I feel I would be so ungrateful if I didn't bear my testimony. The last couple of months, I feel so incredibly blessed. We have had a son that has gotten married, and we had the opportunity for months to spend time with him as he moved home to save some rent. And as I spent those hours with him in preparation, and it came time for him to enter in the temple, I don't know if I can properly express how wonderful that was to see that wonderful change that comes into their life. The day of the wedding, as we were sitting in the temple, Kleenexes had to be handy because there were so many tears. And when the officiator entered the room, he said, "This room is so full." And he said, "With both the living and the dead." And it was very obvious that there were many who had gone on before us that were in that room with us. It was such a tender time. And my son actually cried. I haven't seen him cry for years. And he cried to the point that the officiator said, "Are you okay, Matt?" And he said, "Yes." He says, "I've never been better in my life." Because the spirit was that strong and it was touching all of our hearts. This last conference, as we were, my daughter and I were to the women's conference, and we were in the Harriman Stake Center. And I can tell you that when the prophet stood up and started his talk, and he got to the part where he told the sisters, "I love you." I think those of you that listen to this, I hope you felt the same. I have never heard such silence in that. In any chapel. It was total silence, and the Spirit was with everyone. It was one of those experiences you treasure because you know that the Holy Ghost was there bearing witness to each one of us in the room, that He is a prophet of God, and He is preparing us for the second coming, and we need to listen to His words. I had that in my heart when he was sustained. I had it again during the conference sessions, and I want to bear witness to you that this church is true. It is the latter days, and I am so grateful for the opportunity to be a part of it. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
My dear brothers and sisters, I'm Stania Brennan. It seems to me I was up here last month, and I struggled about what I was going to say. I just had that feeling I needed to come. Well, here I am. My heart is full. I have known quite a few of the prophets of the church. I started with Heber J. Grant. Didn't know them, you know, personally, and have loved each and every one of them. They all seem to have something that we need at that particular time. But there's something about President Nelson. I've not met him personally, but he has such enthusiasm and such vigor and such a testimony, and yet he is so gentle and sincere and loving. There's just kind of a magnitude about him that's why he's here for us today. It's amazing with his advanced years. I watched a segment of the session between sessions, you know, those. I've never really been able to do that before, but I was sitting alone Saturday morning, and I thought, oh, I get to sit here for 2 hours to see the intermission part. And his wife is being interviewed. And she was asked, "Have you noticed any difference?" He's been an apostle for years, but now he's the prophet. And she smiled and she said, "Oh, yes. Every time he goes to the pulpit, he gets younger." I thought, Isn't that interesting? He is really, we really need him. He's really preparing us. I look at the world around me. It's so different than it was when I was a child. And all that's been going on the last 2 or 3 weeks over the television and radio, contention. I've never felt the contention. And we know the Savior said, contention is not of me. Well, contention comes from the opposite source, and he's putting forth his full effort. And I'm so grateful for the gospel. I'm so grateful for the church. It gives us strength within ourselves because we know who we are. We're Heavenly Father's children. And we're supposed to view all of his children as best we can through Heavenly Father's eyes. That's hard to do sometimes, to find love for those who don't have love for you, but that is a key. That reminds us what we should do. I'm grateful for my testimony of Jesus Christ. And my outlook, and I probably said this before, when I was younger, I was interested in maybe more material type of things. But I am all of a sudden, my goal is the hereafter. My goal is I want to be worthy to be in Heavenly Father's presence. Before we came here, we were in his presence and we had glory. And we had to come here, this level, to get our bodies and to train our bodies and to be righteous and worthy to go back home. And that's the key, to be worthy. Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ have done all they can do. Now it's up to me and you. Isn't it wonderful to have that understanding? So many of the children on the earth are lost. I'm so grateful every day that I have the gospel in my life. And as I was sitting here, I thought, isn't it wonderful that we can come and gather as brothers and sisters in these meetings and be strengthened? That they say we're never alone. The Savior's with us, the Holy Ghost, but we're not alone. We come together. We sit in these meetings. We feel the Spirit. We love one another. And when I go home, I know I'm surrounded by wonderful neighbors. That if I needed anything, anyone would come. I hope I'm capable. If they need me, I can go. We are so blessed, and I'm so grateful for my testimony. I love my family. I had an interesting experience yesterday. I have a cousin who died many, many years ago. And she has 6 children, and she was older than I was, so her children were older than mine. But I've never really seen them in my own home, all of them together, and get them straight. The men and the women and who's who and their companions. And so a couple months ago, I phoned the oldest son, and I said, is there a way that I could have all of you come to my home for dinner? I'd like to just, on my own, see you 6 children with your mates. And so he said, well, I'll check on it. Because some of them live in other states. Anyway, October the 13th was the day. I said, okay, come to my home for dinner at 6. I have worried about this. I didn't used to worry like I do, but I'm getting old. I have worried and worried and prayed and prayed and said, Heavenly Father, can this just be a sweet family gathering? And I had 2 children that were able to come. Katrin lives with me, but she wasn't able to come upstairs. But I had a son and my oldest daughter and his wife. My daughter is single. 6 o'clock came. I was ready. My oldest daughter, Diana, was there helping me. The Spirit was wonderful. It was more than I had ever expected. The love and the family feel, and I felt these children, even though they're older, some of them are in their 60s. I don't know if it's ever really convenient for them to get together as a family. the Heavenly Father just blessed us. And we really are brothers and sisters, and they filled a need I had, and I hope I filled a need they had. And this is all because of the gospel and because we know we're brothers and sisters. We're Heavenly Father's children. He loves us. We're grateful for the Savior. I know that all these things are true. I love you, and I pray the blessings upon us all, and I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Chris Beckstead, and I'd love to share a few thoughts of testimony with you all. First of all, I want to just share my testimony of the love that God has for all of us and each of us individually. General Conference was truly touching and felt the inspiration of the talks, I'm sure as many of you did. Really enjoyed hearing the speaker who spoke about his sister who had struggled, and he had viewed her in a different light, and shortly before her death saw her in her true light as God sees her. And I know that if we knew how God felt about us, I think we would all smile and love ourselves a little bit more. I know we each, as really helps us to feel love for each other as well, to know that each of us has our own unique challenges and struggles. And if we can pray to see each other as God sees us, I think we'll understand and judge less and love more. I'm thankful for the miracle of the Sabbath day that we have. Work's been especially busy for me lately, and I'm thankful that God inspired us to have a day a week that we can reflect on the things of God and not just let life pass us by. I'm thankful. I reflected a little bit on why miracles, physical miracles, sometimes happen, and why physical miracles sometimes don't happen. And one of the things that Jesus did on earth was heal a lot of people, but there's been a lot of people that have had to suffer without being healed. And I have a testimony that miracles do happen today, and the most important miracles happen today, which is the miracle of forgiveness, and that the atonement of Jesus Christ is very real. And that is really the only miracle that really matters, is that one that we can all feel in our lives, and the one that brings us true healing, the healing of our spirits, and can bring us peace and happiness. I'm thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ restored through Joseph Smith. I know that he is a true prophet of God, and I love our Savior, and share this with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Vanessa Colorado, and this morning I want to express my gratitude and my love for Heavenly Father. I am so thankful for the opportunity that we have to listen to our prophet and all the church leaders. I am so thankful for all the messages and the ones that were especially for me, as I think all of us felt at those days. And it helped me realize that Heavenly Father loves us so much, and that He really wants us the best for us. I had a really tough summer because I had 2 surgeries, and then on top of that, I failed and fractured my elbow. And many people told me, oh, you really had bad luck. You had bad luck. You had bad luck. And then I thought, do I have bad luck? And then by listening to many, many of the talks, I realized that, I mean, I know that I didn't have bad luck, but I thought, well, things happen for a purpose. And I understood that I needed a time for me to think and just to stop living so fast and stop doing many things and just be super busy. And that time helped me realize many things that I needed in my life, and to be thankful for the love that I have around myself. the love from my family, the love from friends, and the love that just surrounds me. So I am thankful for all the good things and the bad things that Heavenly Father gives us to improve and to become a better person here on earth. I'm so thankful for our prophet, for our leaders. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for Prophet Joseph Smith, who restored this church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I leave these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'm Dixie Clifford, and very pleased to be here today. Last evening, I was out and about, and I stopped by Siegel Book to look for some children's books and things. And I noticed a book by Stephen R. Covey, and I thought, my goodness. He died 3 or 4 years ago, had a bicycle accident, and was suddenly gone. And those of you who know about his life's work will realize that he, in a single person, doing his very best, raised the image of the church across the world, especially with business people, and speaking to them about ethics and moral codes and things like that. And I thought, a book by Stephen R. Covey, he's gone. So I picked it up. It was called something like Primary Attitudes. And his son, after his death, had gone through his essays and pulled out information, and they had compiled this book based on his thinking and the things that he had not published. Many of you know about his 7 Habits of Successful People and all of that. My husband was in Denver when we were in Denver about 45 years ago, and Stephen Covey's career was just beginning. My husband attended one of his seminars and was so impressed because this man understood the core values. Anyway, this book, Primary Attitudes, brought to light the fact that Stephen R. Covey had a concept that there were two things that we are all searching all the time for: acceptance, for success, for fulfillment. And his contention in the book was that we often go about it the wrong way. Instead of starting with the primary things that will provide happiness and success and eventually take us to the eternal kingdoms, are in the primary things we do, not the secondary things we do. So he talks about how people strive so to be accepted. And they worry about how they look, and they are critical of other people who don't meet their standards. Instead of going back to the primary part of purifying their souls, of having a moral code, of considering others, of integrity, of words that are completely lost in the vernacular of today, things like responsibility and accountability and acceptance of ourselves. And so I have just gone through the first few pages of that book last night late, and I intend to read that book and try to find out what this intelligent, beautiful man believed would be the most valuable and the most primary things that we should do in our lives if we truly love God, if we truly love our fellow men. And that if we work on those things, the secondary things will come, the acceptance, the success. And I believe that's true because this man was a man of God. I'm grateful for great teachers such as him, and of course for the Savior, the greatest teacher of all. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I too rejoiced in conference and was fed spiritually, was renewed, and I feel particularly touched, impressed by Sister Craig's talk in the women's session. Sister Craig is in our stake, and she has served faithfully, wonderfully in the Young Women's Organization. She is an extraordinary woman. And she spoke about divine discontent, but as I listened to her talk, she focused on the miracles of Christ and said that these miracles, this infusion of grace, often came from a situation of need or want. And she focused on specifically Christ feeding the 5,000. And people had come to hear Christ speak, and they were far away from any place where they could be fed or taken care of. And Christ turned to his disciples and asked what food they could find. And they brought everything they had, and still it was insufficient. It was inadequate to the task. It was inadequate to feed the people who were hungry and had need and were depending upon them. And as they brought forth everything that they had, Christ magnified their offering and fed the multitude, and they were full. This resonated with me as a woman because there are many people that I care for, who I love, who I want to take care of. I can see their needs, I can see their wants, but I am inadequate. And yet, when I turn to Christ and I bring everything that I have, my efforts are magnified. And those who I care for whom I have stewardship, can be fed if I will bring forth everything that I have. This was a powerful message for me. It filled me as a woman who often feels inadequate. And sometimes, often, I fail. I have hope in Christ. I rejoice in Christ. I am thankful for my Savior. I bear witness of Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is our enabler. He will magnify our efforts for those whom we love and we serve. I bear testimony of this. I have hope in this. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd like to thank all those who have bore their testimony today. We appreciate their inspiration and their words. We also like to thank Brother Grape and Brother Clifford for the music. Our closing hymn will be hymn 19, We Thank Thee, O God, for a Prophet. The benediction will be offered by Sister Cindy Clark.
Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the many blessings we have. We're thankful for this chapel we have to meet in. We're thankful for the gospel and the joy it brings to our life. We're thankful for thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and his great atoning sacrifice. We're thankful for our leaders, especially President Nelson and the wonderful conference we've just heard. We're thankful for the inspiration and the guidance that we've been given for our lives in these latter days. We ask that thy Spirit will be with us, help us to open our hearts and be able to accomplish those things that thou would have us do. Help us to reach out to others with love and concern and humility. Help us to be an instrument for you in the work that you need us to do. Help us to show love and care for those around us, and please bless us so that we can serve. We're thankful for what we have learned. We ask that thy Spirit would be with us. Please bless those who are in need at this time. Please bless those who are struggling because of hurricanes or fires or floods or any damage from the weather. And please bless those who are in need of thy comforting care. Watch over and protect us, we pray, and help us to continue. And we say these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.